Time for the afterburn. Again, I'm going to ask you to, no backstories. Just keep it simple, right to the point. If there's any questions I can't answer, write them down. I'll defer them to Rabbi Steve. But I'll try to answer all the questions. If you have any comments, I'm open to hear your comments. So bring it on. And the first one up is Miss Janet. Welcome.
Blessed be Father for having this teaching today. It was really good, Rabbi. I haven't really gone in through the Jude book because it's so small. I always skipped it. So this was really good, really helpful. At the end of what you were talking, you said there were three things, and I missed the third one. So you said find joy.
Find joy, retain humility, and develop love. Love one another. Love Yahweh, love one another. That's the two great commandments that Yeshua brought forth in Matthew.
Okay, so I don't even know if I have a question about, you were talking
That's
about...
That's why you're up here.
You were talking about how sometimes people leave, right? And sometimes they're put out of the camp. Sometimes most of them leave because that's just their next journey, whatever, right?
Sure.
So, is it okay to just, like, I have been, like, not necessarily talking to anybody or even being involved with anything, because...
About interacting with people who left when you meet them?
Yes, regardless whether they're going in with the blessing or not. It's the reason is because we're here and I barely have enough chances and time to build up the relationship and the love with each other here at the congregation. Just because the weeks go so fast, I just don't even, and we are in the same spirit and mind. So I don't know if there is anything that will add to my life. You know what I mean?
Well, I think as far as the people who have left us are concerned, number one, we have to love them and we have to show that we love them by praying for them. Because there have been people who've left and then realized they made a mistake and came back. They returned. They're back with us. So treat them as you would want to be treated. Love your neighbor as yourself. They're still our neighbors. They're not our brethren, but they're our neighbors. Does that answer your question?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm doing, but I'm not pursuing anything. So, okay. Yeah. Then I had a question about I'm trying to figure out where it is. You were talking about the six matters Yahweh hates.
And in Proverbs, yeah.
Yes. So, a proud look. And you also talk about arrogance before.
Proud look is arrogance, yeah.
Yes. So, my question is, and I struggle with that myself, in terms of how to proper understand arrogance. Because when we're coming to the walk, our eyes are open. And hopefully we're becoming, little by little, like him. Right, so there's things that we start to see more clearly in our walk, and sometimes, well, I would say a lot of times, if we're doing things right, we're being blessed, right? I mean, I think like a lot of people here see a lot of blessings, especially after, like, starting to walk it right and getting advice and counseling from Rabbi, following it. You know, a lot of people get that, but my question is there a fine line between feeling good of what you're doing versus becoming arrogant?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I think there is. We have people come up and talk about how they've been blessed. And that's not arrogance. That's just stating a simple fact. But arrogance is becoming haughty. I'm better than you. I know more than you. That's arrogance, haughtiness, walking around with your nose up in the air. thing. That's arrogance.
That clears it out very well. Thank you.
I'm better than this guy. I'm better than this tax collector here. Hey.
And then the other thing that I wanted to say about the first point, you said three things, right? You said find joy. Mm-hmm. And you were talking how, like, even in our trials, we should find joy, you know, and how we should stay in His love and seek Him out in prayer. And if we come to counseling, they will ask us, well, first, have you prayed? And I just wanted to say that this is what I've seen in my trials. Like, if I'm going on my own, like going through something that is hard for me, like a trial, like if my daughter got sick or whatever, right? I start to pray in my affliction. I start to pray, and then I see the deliverance, and then the joy comes. So the joy naturally comes as a result of seeking Him. You know what I mean? But if I don't seek Him out, and if I try to work it out on my own, the joy never comes. And whenever we're struggling with something that we don't know how to, what to do with, you know, we seek advice. You know, we come to talk, we ask for counseling.
We always have to seek advice, yeah.
And the same thing happens. You know, we immediately, everything becomes like, oh, of course, we can do this. We see the way of deliverance, and the joy comes as well. So my question is, with the trial, it's hard to feel joyful when you're going through it, but is it about seeking Him and pursuing and eventually getting the joy out of the trial?
It is very hard sometimes to feel joy in a trial, but we can't go by feelings. I think if we keep in mind that Yahweh is giving us, allowing us to go through trials and tests for a reason. And if we keep that in mind, then we have to think, what is the reason? What does He want me to learn? What does He want me to realize? And that should give us joy. And then sometime the light bulb may come on. So I know why this happened. Sometime we may never really get the answer. But we can have joy in knowing that a test has come, a trial has come, and we passed it. That gives us joy. And if we failed it, that doesn't really give us joy, but we can have joy in the sense that, Father, I messed up, I failed this trial, give me another one. All right?
Thank you so much. I was trying to write everything that you said.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
May Abba bless you. Thank you.
Yahweh bless you. Mr. Michael, shalom, shalom.
Hello, Rabbi Tom. Oh. That's how he signs Rabbi Tom.
Okay.
All right. I was studying this in Jude chapter 1, of course, verse 16, and you said about complaining and about walking in your own lusts. And make sure that your speak is not of pride and looking at other people. Why am I saying? Let me read. Thank you. Admiring other faces of others for the sake of gain. Mm-hmm. I remember growing up in the Christian, you know, and what I believed in there in the Baptist church and everything in that setting. And I went to Bible theology school and I learned about Jude. And that was mostly, that verse was against false prophets. And warning you that about false teachers. That's what I grew up learning about that verse. But now I'm like, oh, this is a different perspective, and it's been a little bit of a challenge for me. So I was wanting to know, is it also warning you about false prophets, you know, like a group of, you know, or is it more of the people in the body who are complaining?
Well, I think I know what you're getting at. Grumblers and complainers are not necessarily false prophets. Okay, they're in a different category. But grumblers and complainers, they have an attitude that they convey to others. And they can discourage others. I don't know if that's what you're getting at or not. But there's a difference between false prophets and grumblers. Some people are just malcontents. So they're always grumbling about something. And, of course, we don't want to be in their category either. Does that answer your question, Mike?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, we bless you. Mr. Rocky.
It's going to be difficult because I don't think you can speak Rocky, so I'm going to do the best I can.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So. Do the best you can. You always do.
See, this teaching, I've never heard it like this before. I've heard it in that Christian way. And it's way different than what I heard. But what I kept hearing is I kept examining myself. It's like, wow, could I be one of these persons? Could I be fooling myself? You know, the song came to me about sticks, the angry young man, you're just fooling yourself.
Sure.
You know? I'm like, wow, because
we can fool ourselves, yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because it's really been a blessing since I've been here. I really haven't struggled through nothing. I mean, it's been a little difficult, and I spent all my money to move here, and, and it was physically demanding to remodel my house. I mean, all those things, but really nothing until now, until this health issue that I have.
Yeah.
And it really, I really realize there's a teaching I really don't like, and that's baptized in fire. It's like, whoa, I don't like that one. And I've listened to that a lot here in the last few days. You know, and like I said, it's really making me look at myself. Am I really serious? Because honestly, I still doubt on things. I'm still like at the sea, and the Egyptians are behind me, and the rocks are there. And I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it here?
I don't think there's any of us that don't have some doubt, some uncertainty. We don't know all the answers.
Oh, good. I feel better now. But that doesn't really help me, but it makes sense.
Sorry about that.
But, yeah. It's like, it still doesn't make it go away. And he says he's going to test my kidneys. He's really going to find out if I'm really serious.
Yeah.
I can get up here and run my mouth. I got the easy part done talking about it. Piece of cake. I mean, I can talk all kinds of bull crap. But to really do it, that's what's really tough, And that's what that teaching really struck me with. It's like, oh, my goodness, how serious am I? Can I really make this? Am I fooling myself? Am I just up here blowing smoke and trying to look good? I hope not.
No.
But thank you for what it's worth.
No. Yep. Thank you, Rocky. We don't think that you're blowing smoke. We understand you. Yahweh bless you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, one more. Okay. Come back again. Welcome back.
Yeah, so I've consulted with Rabbi a lot of times about anxiety and this, and to have this panic attacks. And he don't have a clue, really, what it's like because he's never experienced it. But I think he has just a little bit of anxiety right now because he really can't reply and say anything.
Well, you've taken the first step. You counsel a lot with Rabbi. That's good. That's good. And I'm sure when he comes back, he will have something to say. All right, if there are no more, we go to the live stream. What do we have on live stream?
Okay, from the first one, it's from Rick Johnson. It says, what are the requirements / qualifications for inspired scripture, such as Enoch being mentioned as prophesying here in Jude and mentioned in Luke and Hebrews? Why is Enoch not inspired scripture?
Enoch is inspired scripture because, first of all, we don't know when it was written, and in Romans chapter 3, and I brought this out, I think, last night, it says that the Yehudi, the Jews, are charged with preserving words of Torah. And that's all I can go by. And they've done that very well. And the Jews do not consider Enoch and Yeshua inspired scriptures. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading these books, but we have to keep in mind they're not inspired scriptures. They're not scripture at all. It's like the books of the Maccabees. They're not inspired scriptures. They have a lot of historical value, and they teach us about the events of the Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is mentioned also in John. But that doesn't make the Maccabees an inspired book. There's a lot of books, and if you open the Catholic Bible, there's two extra chapters added on to Daniel. Where did they come from? Some extra writing somebody came across. They added them. I think the Catholics have one extra psalm. They have 151 psalms. They have the book of Tobit and Judith and things like that. These are called apocryphal books, and they should always be regarded with suspicion. So that's the only way that I can answer your question. But, I mean, if you want to read Enoch and Yasher and some of the other books, knock yourself out. I have a Sefer Bible that has these books in them. And I've read through them. But as Rabbi Steve says, everything that we need for salvation is in this book. The 66 books that are contained in this book, everything. And I view this as one complete Bible from Genesis to Revelation. One complete Bible. And there's everything that we need. If we never read any other book, this is all we need. I believe that. I hope that answers your question. And as I said about Jude, we can relate that better to Revelation 19. That fits in better with what Jude is saying. He's going to come with 10,000 of his saints. Does that answer your question? I hope. Are there any other questions?
Yes, sir. From Mary Wallen says, question, thank you, Rabbi Tom. I do pray for myself, but I have a tendency to pray for others more. Is this correct? Focusing on others pulls me out of my own troubles.
No, we always have to think about other people. We can't just always think about ourselves. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't know what you mean when you say you pray for others more. We have to pray for ourselves and we have to pray for others. So there's nothing wrong with praying for other people. As a matter of fact, I think it's a positive mitzvah that we pray for other people. And that shows that we love our brethren. And as I said, we even have to pray for some of the people who've decided to go another way. Pray for them too. And we have to pray for our brethren. We have to pray for Rabbi Steve and Elder Jackson and their families. You can even pray for me if you want. I don't mind. Okay? And so there's nothing wrong, Miss Mary, with praying for other people. Okay? Any other questions?
Yes. There's another one just came in from Alejandra C. Talking about prayer again. Great teaching. I still have a hard time praying. I try to say what I need to and thank him for everything, but I feel there's something missing. Like you said, prayer is important. Do you have any tips?
Well, prayer is simply talking to Yahweh. We don't have to have formal prayers, and we don't have to get dressed in a special way and fold our hands and say, oh, Father, you know, prayer is just simply having a conversation with Yahweh. You get up in the morning and you say, Boker Tov, Father, good morning. I ask your blessing on this day. That's a prayer. But there are times when we just have to sit down and shut off all distractions. And say, even if it's only for 5 minutes, say, Father, here's what's on my mind. And part of prayer, an important part of prayer, is thanking Almighty Yahweh. We have to thank him for his blessings, the things that he's given us, the things that he's allowed us to have, or the trials he's allowed us to escape, for the people he's put in our lives. So prayer is just simply having a conversation with Almighty Yahweh. And he's listening. He's not always going to, he's probably never going to speak to you in an audible voice. Oh, my son, I hear your prayer. You know, it doesn't work that way. I like to think that when Rabbi sounds the shofar, a sound comes out. But then when he stops blowing, air rushes back in. We can't hear that air rushing back in. But Yahweh puts thoughts in our minds. And that's how he answers prayer, by putting thoughts in our minds. And the more you practice praying, the easier it becomes. And if you get stuck, you can always read the Psalms. I don't believe in prayer books, although there's some nice prayers in the Siddur, that's right, but they're rote prayers. True prayer comes from the heart. Abraham, Moshe, all the prophets never had a Siddur. They never read a prayer, but their prayers came from the heart, and that's where our prayers must come from. We must tell Yahweh what we're thinking, what is on our mind. So that's the only tips I can give you. I hope that helps you.
Okay, that's all we have right now, Rabbi.
Okay. All right, who's going to give us the closing?